Good morning and welcome, my friends. You are listening to Tuesday's edition of Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Very excited to have you with us. It is, of course, April 10th, 2007, 1 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. Welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave, frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. Maybe you're listening at our website, franklyspeakingradio.com, in which case you're one click away from all the information on our guest here this evening. His website, privacycrisis.com. You can get the hardcover version of the book. You can also get the ebook if that suits you better. You can go to amazon.com and maybe find a used copy. And you can also order by phone. If you don't have a computer, or maybe you just don't have convenient access to one or feel more comfortable over the phone, here's an option for you. Call 702-433-6222. Ask for the book Privacy Crisis by author and our guest here tonight, Grant Hall. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. And let's continue back to Mary in Georgia. Mary, please continue with your question.
Okay. I was just going to mention the fact he's talking about the privacy thing. I think there's a lot of technology out there that people don't really realize what's going on because, like I said, my husband got stopped by a cop. I think it was because he didn't fully stop at a stop sign or something. Anyway, yeah, I don't remember what case was, but finally asked the cop, well, you need to see my insurance. And said, no, I'm on your tag, and I know you got insurance.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, I've heard that in some places, I think it was in Tennessee even, they've got the RFID in the license plates with a little transmitter so they can pick up on that. But, you know, perfect reason to, of course, and Mary, you guys would benefit greatly from the techniques in this book because, well, Grant, you go ahead and give her an idea about what they can do with their mechanisms for traveling, such as their automobile.
Well, this is an interesting question because I happen to have had personal experience with this very issue.
Oh.
The car I drive is owned by a trust, and I have to be insured individually, of course, but in terms of the link between the two of myself and the trust, there is none at the DMV where my automobile is registered. So, and I know this for a fact. I even tell the story in the chapter of the book on driving. There's a way to essentially remove yourself entirely legally from the ownership of the car by titling it in another entity. I choose a trust, but you do not want to have your name on the paperwork, and then essentially nobody can recognize you through the DMV plates and through the privacy invasive types of databases that they keep, but ordinarily it's like Mary suggests, is that the license tag and the individual and their insurance is all linked together in one nice little neat package there. Mm-hmm. For the law enforcement, of course, has their job to do, but there's nothing wrong with preserving your privacy as you drive.
Such an important point.
Well, I got a question on that.
Quickly.
Are two of you familiar with Enemy of the State?
Yes, the movie.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he said the more you are involved in technology, the more they can keep up with what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to an extent, absolutely. But see,
on the other hand, those who want to utilize technology for their privacy have that at their ready as well, so they can in turn fight the privacy invasive things that go on as well.
Yes, and I think that's exactly sort of something, Mary, that you guys should think about, is you can only disengage yourself from society to such an extent, but you look at all the high-profile people. For example, you think Dick Cheney's Social Security number is floating around there for people? Absolutely not, because he has people like Grant Hall with these techniques that are protecting them. These are things that the powers that be, they know it, they use it, and they don't want you to know about it, which is why Grant is certainly a great blessing to us all.
Well, let me ask you this. Can
okay.
you go to the woods and hide out and be a homeless person and they don't know nothing about you?
Yeah, but that's not very much fun to live that way.
Yes.
Well, I know it ain't fun, but being in the system ain't fun either.
That's true. But if you are in the system on your terms, that's the best place to be, girl, because honestly, you don't want to be characterized by the media as another Eric Rudolph or another Unabomber when they find you squatting in the woods somewhere, you know, on somebody's property, and they just throw you in jail and say, well, you didn't want to live in the system. Now you can live in the prison system. So, you know, it is what it is. Look, we've all been given rules, regulations, structure in which we are told that we have to exist. The point is that with people like Grant Hall and this book like Privacy Crisis, we realize that there is there's a back door. And the back door, of course, does open up a wide range of opportunities to live free, yet still be, you know, in the system, but on your terms and in your way, I guess, is the best way to put it.
And still do everything above board.
Above board, completely legally, and without any sort of need for shame or you don't need to feel like you're skulking around, like you're doing something wrong. There's nothing wrong with this. This is all completely legal.
Well, I don't have anything on my record. I've been a perfect citizen of the United States, and I feel like if I have to get out of the system to prevent being caught by the system, I don't want to be in the system, Frank.
No, I understand. I do understand. And, you know, when you're living out in the woods, I'll be sure to think about you when I'm nice and warm in my house that's off the record, driving my car that's off the record, and, you know, having my bank account off. Hey, I'm just saying, you know, I mean, I'm not saying that I couldn't live like that. I just don't want to unless I have to, and I don't have to because of this.
Oh, well, I don't want to unless I have to either.
Right.
And we've got a lot of wood and stuff. You know, we don't pay propane bills and stuff because we got a wood heater and... You know, there's advantages to going back to the old way.
Yeah. Oh, I know. And I think these are all vital skills to have. But at the same time, you know, you never know what's going to come down the line. The point is that if stuff does happen, you'll be prepared in every possible conceivable way because you'll know how to operate in the system and you'll know how to go and live off the land as well. So why not hedge your bets, I say.
Right.
All right.
Well,
Mary?
Okay. Let me say one last thing.
All right. Quickly.
I listen to you all the time,
you're very
and I feel
sweet.
Like you're part of my family.
Well, vice
okay?
versa. Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you so much, Mary. God bless you. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. And to of course, I'm from Georgia, so it's like a family for me as well. Let's go to Davis in North Carolina. Davis, welcome to the show.
I'm here. Can you hear me, sir?
I can hear you, brother. How are you?
Yes, you're just like family.
Well, vice versa.
Standing down at the post office for 2 months.
Ah, you're killing me.
Postmaster ran me out. I'm only allowed to go in there one time a week now. See what you did?
I'm so sorry. I promise I will get that this week. I promise, okay?
You give me a sign. I hadn't slept in 4 months. It's all yours.
Oh, my God. All right. I'm going to go kill myself now. You made me feel so bad about me having a late-night show now.
Hey, listen. Mail it, but don't kill yourself until you mail it.
Okay, fair enough.
Gave Thomas my phone number, and you should call in. I've been sitting by the phone for two weeks.
Oh, God.
The only person that showed up has been the maid. Because I'm an old guy. That makes, you know, I don't have anything to do. You got another great program tonight, man. I do not know how you find all these people. You're better than the FBI.
Well, I appreciate that, but let me go on the record. I believe, Grant, you found me.
I did, actually. I was very glad to do that. I did find you. Thank you for allowing me. Hello, Davis.
Grant, you're in trouble. You hang out with this guy, you're never going to get any sleep. I'm telling you. The guy's killing me. This is a great program. Your information is just really great. I don't know where he finds friends and associates like this, but, you know, this guy... has got a better program than Fox, CNN, all these other people.
God
got
bless
a beat. You just have a better program. I don't know how you do it.
Thank you. Well, it doesn't matter, you know, what I do talk about. If I don't have people listening, it's for nothing. But, you know, obviously we can fit. And it's good to know that you're out there listening. It's good to know I'm keeping you up late, thinking deep thoughts about, you know, your team and your assets and like that.
Well, I don't have a lot of assets, so I got some ex-wives.
Mm.
That's a dangerous situation.
Yeah. I have no doubt.
Need your help immediately.
you may just, actually, because, Grant, I mean, this is probably something that's come up before.
Oh, yes, it has. Are you trying to make yourself scarce, Davis? Or?
I'd like to be really scarce. Now, ex-wives are no problem. They were all good kids. I loved all of them. We're still on speaking base. I get Christmas cards and birthday cards. We're okay.
Oh, that's good.
Everybody's got their nose in your business, and especially with your credit. I check mine once every 6 months. You'd be surprised what shows up. People, I know it's a law, people should not be checking credit unless you've authorized it. Isn't that true?
That is supposed to be the law as I understand it. There's some real easy solutions to this, Davis. With a little work, you can, like phone calls, if you can get through to the credit bureaus, providing you're in a state that allows that, and more are doing that. In fact, I haven't kept up in the last 6 months or so, but there's a number of states that allow you to freeze your credit report, and then nobody, excepting those who you currently do business with as creditors, can access your report. That means no PIs, no wives, nobody, no matter who they have working for them, can access your. And this is a huge, huge advantage to preserve privacy, because that is the first resource those who investigate go to is your credit report. That's a tell-all guide.
I even got a notice that you're not going to believe this. Notice on my insurance claim, on my insurance policy, one of them, it says that my premium adjusted by my credit score. That's a factor for insurance, and you have to have it. So how does that work?
That's an individual policy for different car insurance companies. Do that and some don't. Just like certain auto insurance companies will let you take a policy without you giving them your Social Security number. Others will try to get it, and certain companies will use your credit profile and also your credit score to determine your premium rates. When you're at something like that, you need to make it very clear, if privacy is important to you, that you don't give your credit report to anybody, and especially insurance company, not for any reason. And you also are locked into doing business with just anybody. So you need to understand that various companies have different policies into how they do business and how they underwrite customers, but not a has a policy. But I can positively assure you that all is unnecessary, and you can still get a good company.
Well, I've got a great company. Well, I live on a fixed income. I'm retired from the war, so it's fixed. So I'm frugal. I shop around, get the best deal I can dollar wise. You know, better thing. And so far, my insurance company has everybody on premium.
Well, that's, of course, important.
Yes.
Now, if I call them and tell them I ran over a car carrier to tomorrow and destroy 12 Mercedes, you'd probably have a heart attack.
Probably.
I do that to them every once in a while. I'll just call them and say, look, I'm in a terrible accident, and there's other stuff involved. I can hear him grabbing his wallet and heart all at the same time.
Oh, my God. You're going to kill him.
I do it to him all the time. He's a good guy. He deserves it.
Okay.
Like Frank Whalen. You know, the guy Frank Whalen has his radio. You heard of him?
I heard him. He's a real jerk.
Well, I'm doing pretty good, except with doctors and guys that have programs.
Very good.
Now,
well,
I was enlightened somewhat this evening when I called in. Thomas answered, of course. And Thomas, wow, man. Anyway, he says that the reason you have all these good guests, that's him doing it for you.
I didn't know that. See, this is totally news to me.
But he was very convincing.
Well,
yeah.
He's obviously got a career in politics.
Davis, you're not telling lies to me, are you, bud?
All right. Davis, I appreciate the call, and you will be getting a package from me. You'll be getting a call from me also.
I appreciate your program. I'm praying for
you. Thank you.
Pleasure. Have a good day.
Vice versa to you, my friend. God bless. Thank you so much for the call. You have a good day. We'll keep you up for a couple hours.
Thank you, Davis.
You know, Grant, it's such a great thing to hear people call up and ask you these kinds of questions, because this is a thing that people need to understand, that there are ways to do this. I'll give you an example. When I was in school, and I did go to private school, I went to public school for a while. I did go to college and all these other things. But the point is that when you're in that classroom, there is a structure by which the class is taught, by which things operate. And when the teacher tells you, we'll test on Friday on the atmosphere, and make sure you guys all read in your textbooks. I'm pulling straight from chapter 2. So you go read chapter 2, and chapter 2 says the sky is actually purple. then you're going to say, wow, that's strange because it looks blue to me. It always has looked blue. Guess what? When the test comes, if you write down blue, you're going to get it wrong because it's based on the text. Even though you know better, even though you know that maybe that's the right way, there are structures by which you have to operate in order to get a good grade. Same thing with the system. You can take yourself out of the system, but you do it gradually, and the best thing you can do is implement these privacy measures. Whether you think you need it or not, God forbid you ever do need to have all these things in place, but the point is that it's important to protect yourself, everything you have, everything you'd ever have in the future, and protect your peace of mind, your privacy locked up airtight.
I agree. I don't believe in being out of the system. I just believe in being in total control of your information and having your information being unavailable to those who are in the system.
I wholeheartedly agree with that because I've said it as much as anybody. I don't want to live as a caste. I don't want to live, outside of society. I like people. I like talking. I like interacting with people, but I like to do it on my terms.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, that's how I like to operate. I would much rather have, it's just one of those things. When I get, they sent you a package. Who's it from? I know, but you have to sign right here. What if I want to sign? Then you can't have your package. I don't know if I need that package or not. When I have somebody at a mail collection place, P.O. box, sign for my packages for me. There's all kinds of reasons and rationales for this. You just want to have your signature, your name, your social security, and your information and history all attached to these things.
Right, and it's so much more. You feel much more secure doing it that way. And it's like you said, it's not very pleasant living as a recluse. And so you want to be able to take advantage of all that life and people have to offer, and be a normal socializing person, normal business person, but still maintain your privacy. And it's all possible to do that. You just have to have the information, and you have to have the right techniques, and also modern. Techniques are important because things change pretty quickly.
Oh, yeah.
So what you have read 4, 5, 6 years ago, turning over assets to nominees and using your middle name to buy a telephone, which one such author promotes, I mean, they're so outdated and they never were very good in the first. So these kinds of books are not going to serve you very well. You need to read something that really has worked and really does work in everyday life.
Without a doubt, and I'll say this as well, that you are somebody who does all these things. You live in the United States. You're not fleeing to some foreign country for protection for that. You found a way to be protected, to be secure here in America, and that's the way to play it. That's the way to go. Like I said, I've read the other books. I've had them referred to me by a number of people. I've read them, and I found numerous flaws in there, a number of different some. That only I might know because of some of the references and whatnot. And you and I have discussed this off air. It doesn't need to air it on the air. But the point is that you're doing this. You're living, breathing, talking, walking proof that this works. And because this is, when people get information like this, they keep it to themselves. I don't know anybody who's willing to come forward and talk about this like you have. You've given us exorbitant amounts of your time on a regular basis in order to get this information out there. And I applaud you for that. People are very, very privileged to you here this evening. If they picked up and they've read it, then they know exactly why. And for those who are curious to hear these things, you know what I'm referring to. This is all about protecting yourself and everything you've got. Even if you don't think you have much, you have freedom at this point. Make sure that you keep having it.
That's correct. And your freedom is the most important part of your life. We are a free people, and traditionally free people have maintained their privacy, whether that's in the financial life or their work life or their home life.
Yes.
That's the way people have reacted. And my own opinion is that Americans are going to continue to demand privacy and their freedom, and they're not going to succumb to any drastic changes in that, in spite of what certain media personnel might tell you.
Well said, sir. Well said. Well, I understand you'll be joining us every week, and I look to that. We'll be talking, I guess, next Monday, hopefully, and we'll talk and confirm all this stuff. But give us an idea, Grant, all the information. I know there's websites, phone numbers, all this stuff, in order to pick up the book.
Well, yes, it's available a number of different places and becoming more available all the time. The best place to buy is at the website. It's www.privacycrisis.com. You can buy the ebook or you can buy the hard bound copy there. You can buy it in total privacy. If you want to send in a money order, you can do that or use a credit card to pay for it. And incidentally, there's ways to make certain that you're not traced online just by an anonymous credit card. Some of them, like Private Cash, will assure your anonymity as you purchase online. You can buy it on Amazon.com as well in either new or used copy. There may be used ones that are for sale. I don't know. You can buy from Borders Bookstore in Henderson, Nevada at 702-433-6222. And it'll be available at other stores as well.
It's very exciting.
So you can buy the book, and I look forward to being on future as well, Frank.
Oh, I can't thank you enough for all that you've done for us. Of course, like I said, with just the hours and hours and hours you've given on the air, the time that we talked off the air and the advice you gave, the book itself is, like I said, the most important how-to book I've ever read. It's referenced quite frequently, and it has never let me down, and nor have you, my friend. I appreciate all that you do. And, folks, Grant Hall and PrivacyCrisis.com, the sponsor of our Midnight Hour. So do what you can to support him, and let's keep him happy. Let's keep him around. Let's keep him writing, researching, interacting with you guys. And, of course, maybe we can con Grant into putting out a sequel at some point. Has that ever been a consideration, a thought?
Well, we've got to sell this one first.
Okay. Well, there you go.
We're selling some, so
good.
Not at the present time. We're really up to date with this one, so
yes.
Always a possibility in the future. Of course, as things change, there's going to be necessary revisions, of course, in the future. So that will be done if it's necessary.
And I should say this. It is up to date. I mean, you've got stuff in here about the Real ID Act, which doesn't even go into effect, supposedly, until 2008. So, you know, bravo. Really, you're a step ahead. And you allow other people to be a step ahead as well. So God bless you for that and for all that you do, and I look forward to speaking with you regularly.
Okay,
it'll be a lot of fun.
Good. We'll do it. And thank you very much for the time, and I enjoyed the conversation.
As always. Thank you so much. Folks, Grant Hall, on the book Privacy Crisis, Identity Theft Prevention Plan, and Guide to Anonymous Living. That's what it's all about. If you want to live in this America and the America that is coming, that is developing as we speak, it is vital that you make sure that you are taken care of, that you are taking care of all the things that you can. And knowing all the little tricks, all the little methods, and all the different ideas that are out there that are available and are being implemented by people like our guest. He's doing all this stuff. He's advising other people about these things. He's telling them how to do it. It is in this book, and it is well worth your time. Amazon.com has some, I believe, used copies, which are a little bit cheaper. But just go to Amazon.com, type in Privacy Crisis under books, and it'll come right up. It's the number one selection right there for you. So it's a vital component. And Grant will be with us next Monday in conjunction with, of course, the all the information and the value of the information and being our sponsor. We certainly want to keep him happy, keep him around, because that's how radio works, folks. It's your sponsor, advertisers. These are the people who pay the bills and allow us to continue to bring you shows and allow us to continue on the airwaves. So please do what you can to support all of them and to make them happy, keep them happy. And also, it's certainly a wonderful thing, because like I said, it's a great that somebody like Grant, who has put out a book that I completely and wholeheartedly agree with, that I cannot tell you enough is a useful tool. So anyway, we certainly appreciate all that he's doing for us. Let us dive into some news here, my friends, because apparently we're not doing any commercials this hour. Our first story is from the Jerusalem Post. It came out on April 5th. Now you're saying April 5th was ages ago. I know, it's a whopping 5 days ago, but it's important and it leads into some of the issues we're going to be discussing here this evening. Here's what it says. Members of the British naval crews by Iran were detained in solitary confinement, Britain's defense ministry confirmed Thursday. Lieutenant Colonel A. Price said some of the Navy personnel had been, quote-unquote, left alone at points during their captivity, but said he would not elaborate until officials had held further to the sailors. So they're being debriefed to find out what they're allowed to talk about. It gets more intriguing as the news stories develop, so bear with us here. Pause for a station ID, and we're back in minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Stay with us.
Frank. found this company online, and they had a really unique variety of salt wellness. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crimps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt well products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully. There was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
People who use Cartivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cartivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Mattson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cartivite.
In our mind, there isn't a very big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast, tide, and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cartivite, and you see someone who could barely walk a hill now going for a regular job, 2 months later, know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our Cartivite link at rbnlive.com. Toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website, kensolar.com, free downloads, free videos, how-tos, and, of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. N. That's 239-677-3073 or on bet kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
Business and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of them themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize much higher deductible health insurance and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit CoreDocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save thousands of dollars.
Employees all over the country are discovering to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documentation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by IRS and Department of Labor Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming, the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of earth history. People everywhere need to understand the climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast, an unholy alliance. It includes 4 books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, new world order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world, overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Pack F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Good morning and welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking. I am your host, Frank Whalen, and thrilled that you're here. Talking about some news here from the Post, April 5th, about these British captives. They say they were held in solitary confinement, and of course they're being debriefed to find out exactly what's going on. What information can be released, what information cannot? How can it be spun? That's what it's about, because we talked about this. In the public relations battle, the whole world basically has handed one, you know, a victory to Iran. Because they said, no, we're going to hold them, we're going to hold them. And the British basically said, please. And then Iran says, okay, as a gift to you, we give you your people back. And Britain just looks like a dog with its head down and its tail between its legs, honestly. So anyway, it goes on. Iran's foreign ministry said that during the standoff, it had given Faye Turney, the only woman among crew, seized March 23rd, complete privacy. But she was seen in photographs with her male colleagues, indicating she had been placed in solitary confinement. Though several sailors appeared on a state-run television, others were not filmed, raising the possibility they'd been separated from their colleagues. Several of the crew praised the treatment they'd been offered. Iran and interviewed Iranian broadcasters, but in a statement released as they arrived in Britain, the sailors said, quote, the past 2 weeks have been very difficult, end quote. They also said in a statement, quote, by staying together as a team, we keep spirits up, drawing great comfort from knowledge that our loved ones will be waiting for us on our return, end quote. Well, that statement in and of itself indicates what? There was no solitary confinement at all. Even when they showed pictures and images and videos of these sailors and Marines, they didn't show all of them images, indicating, as they say, that them had been kept separated. But again, by together as a team, we kept our spirits up, quote, unquote. That's interesting. It doesn't bode well, necessarily, for them sort of drumming up this support for the evil Iranian empire and how they handle captives. This one came out today, April 10th, from The Independent over there in the U.K. Military personnel were banned from selling their stories to the media last night amid increasing pressure over the decision to allow them and sailors freed from Iran to be paid for their accounts of captivity. Des Brown, the Secretary of State for Defense, imposed the ban on further media deals pending a full-scale review of rules governing payment, although it did not affect Seaman Faye Turney's TV1 interview with Sir Trevor MacDonald aired last night. He said the Royal Navy had faced a tough call, but admitted that the decision to allow the captives to sell their stories had not reached a satisfactory outcome. Mr. Brown ended last night amid a course of criticism from senior political and military figures and families of soldiers killed in actions. Graphic accounts of the drama by two leading seamen, Turney and Arthur Batchelor, appeared in the Daily Mirror yesterday, sparking the move could set a potentially dangerous precedent. So what is precedent, you ask? Well, you'll see when we get into some of the content here in this story. Leading seaman Turney told The Sun she feared being measured for her coffin and asked about how she felt about dying for her government. She told the newspaper she was forced to strip to her underwear in a cell and was told she spent several years in jail. She did not write a letter home and confessed to being in Iranian waters, which she did. So basically, she's not saying solitary confinement. She's not saying anything else. She's saying, you told me that I'd spend years and years and years in jail if I didn't write a letter saying I was wrong. So what did she do? She wrote that letter. All of them did. They all basically gave statements to the Iranian media and on the record to the people who were filming them, saying, yes, we confess this and this and this. Listen to this one. Operator mechanic Bessler, age 20, told the Daily Mirror he, quote, cried like a baby, end quote, a cell. He said, quote, it was beyond terrifying. They seemed to take particular pleasure in mocking me for being young. A guard kept flicking my neck with his index finger and thumb. I was frozen in terror and just stared into the darkness of my blindfold, end quote. Now think about those statements, folks. What does that indicate? Why would they be banning them from telling their stories at this point? Well, because it doesn't sound like I did anything too bad, does it? If I were torturing them and doing waterboarding and all the Abu Ghraib stuff that we do to captives, the American government, the United States of America, does to its captives, and what they did, they said, you're going to stay here for years, and kept them for 2 weeks. They said, we're going to flick you with our finger on the back of your neck and call you young. Ooh. And what's the response? Well, Al said, in addition to having to strip down to her underwear, presumably to put on some non-military, you know, uniform. I don't know if, you know, they looked at her or whatnot, but still, that's, have you seen the Abu Ghraib tours? There's more than stripping down to your underwear going on there, is there not? But the point is that she felt they were measuring her coffin. And this guy, he's like, they flicked me, and I cried like a baby. Okay. So number one, first of all, they are painting this to be a horrific experience. Although the video and their statements seem to indicate otherwise. Now, what I'm saying here, quite simply, is this, and I understand they were giving statements to the Iranian government and the Iranian people and the Iranian media, but still, how well-trained are these sailors and these Marines? So what I'm saying is that to the British people, when they read this, I think that, you know, if you've lost some people in this conflict, war on terror, if you're a family member who's grieving for the loss of a son or a daughter or a father or a mother or an aunt or an uncle or a nephew or a niece, something like that, because you hear that the enemy is so voracious and so evil and so apt to kill you at home, and you read a story like this where the evil Iranians, what have they done? The seat of terrorism on the face of the planet. They fund it. They operate it. They carry it out. They're the most evil country on the face of the earth. They flick people with their fingers and say, you're young. Ooh, scary stuff. So when you're a family member and you've lost someone, what do you get out of that? You realize that, what? How this is the evil. These are the people we're trying to kill. Look, didn't even do anything. You know, my, you know, insert relative here was killed on the battlefield because these people are supposed to be evil, because these people are creating nuclear weapons, because these people want to kill millions and millions and millions of us, and they didn't even do anything to these guys. You know, it's not like the Iraq POW. It's not like the insurgent beheading videos that we've seen, and it's definitely not like the treatment at Abu Ghraib. Second thing. It highlights these accounts why they've been banned, folks. These account the fact that these British sailors and Marines basically didn't put up any fight when they got captured, didn't put up any fight while they were being held. They cried, they worried, they were forced to strip down to their wear. Big deal. I've been strip searched at the Canadian border. I was treated worse from Canada than these treated by the evil empire of Iran. Do you see this? This is not making the case in the minds and hearts of the British. The British people are never going to want to go to war with Iran now. Their people aren't even harmed. They weren't even mistreated. They were flicked with fingers all young. Ooh, that's it. Get out your flags, folks. We're going to war. No way. This is why they don't want people telling these stories. Because there's nothing here to inspire outrage or sympathy or to break your heart. It highlights the fact that apparently the British, you could just flick them with a finger, ready to surrender and give up. I'll sign anything. Just call me young. I'm making light of this, but you have to understand that when it comes to the media, when it comes to intelligence, it's all about spin. It's all about propaganda. How can we make thing look the way we want it to look? Achieve the end we are trying to achieve. That's what it's all about. And they can't get it, so they've banned them from telling their stories. One of the captives, the story goes on, attendant, Lieutenant Felix Harmon said he found selling his story a little unsavory. And I agree. There's something wrong with that. I don't know. Meanwhile, reports emerged of a split within the armed forces. Major General Patrick Cordingly, who commanded the Desert Rats during the 1991 Gulf War, said he was impressed that personnel had been used, quote, almost as a propaganda tool, end quote. And said Army personnel had been ordered not to tell their stories to the media. French forces told him that Sir Richard Dennett, the chief of the general staff, had ruled out any similar moves. So I agree with General Patrick Cordingly, who says they shouldn't be allowed to give their statements, to sell their statements, and I agree with you to a certain extent. If you're active duty military, you could be doing more harm good, I think. That's just me, though. Anyway, Mr. Brown, that would be, of course, the Secretary of State for Defense, Brown, said last night, quote, the dilemma facing the Navy was this. Should they refuse to give them permission to accept payment, recognizing that some of them would find ways to tell their excuses anyway, without the support and advice of their service? Oh, that sounds like control to me, doesn't it? We were worried they might sell their story anyway without the support and advice of their service. Meaning, of course, the Navy being able to say, look, we own you, son. You signed this here contract. You are essentially not a citizen. You work for us. You obey us. You serve us. And we will not allow you to tell this sob story about being flicked with your finger and called young and made you cry like a baby. Des Brown goes on, quote, therefore, with greater risk to themselves and crucially also to risk at risk to operational security. Or should the Navy accept that in this particular exceptional case and in the modern media environment, they should be given permission for these young people to tell their story precisely in order to stay close to them, but accepting the consequence of the potential payment involved, end quote. So a whole lot of hooey, basically. I just think, you know, any one of them could have sold a book. They could have sold movie rights, whatever the case may be. And that's probably something that the military would like to cut in on, maybe. I don't know. But the point is, there isn't a whole lot of story, is there? Anyway, this one got on Sunday from the AP. Iranian television broadcast video footage Sunday showing a British Navy crew playing chess and watching television during their two-week captivity in Iran, saying the footage refutes the sailors' and marines' claims that they were mistreated. Crew members told reporters 2 days ago that, after returning to Britain, that they'd been blindfolded, held in isolation, frightened, and coerced into falsely saying they had entered Iranian waters before they were seized. Some of the video clips briefly aired on Iran's state-run Arabic satellite TV channel Al Alam showed several of the eight sailors and marines dressed in tracksuits, chess, and table tennis. Other clips showed crew members watching soccer on television, eating at a long table decorated with flowers. Crew members could be heard laughing and chatting. A news reporter who spoke over the beginning of the footage said they approved, quote, the sailors had completely during their detention, which predicts what the sailors declared after they arrived in Britain, end quote. So a couple of key points here. First of all, Iran is saying, hey, they had it made while they were here. They're treated like ambassadors. They got to eat at tables lined with flowers. They were able to watch television and play chess. Well, first of all, I have no doubt in my mind that was staged. Unless you're watching a two solid week of footage, meaning daytime, nighttime, 4 hours a day for 14 days, we don't know how they were held. And I'm sure at some point they were blindfolded. I'm sure at some point they were in isolation. I'm sure at some point they were frightened and coerced. How were they frightened and coerced? They were told, you're going to stay here for years. They were told, you might go on trial. They were told, we're going to call you young and flick you with our finger. So, in essence, there's some truth probably on both of the issue. Here's the other thing, too. Ask anybody who's in the American military, and they'll tell you that you are not going to be used as propaganda, okay? Look at all the soldiers who have served. I mean, do you think any American soldier would have been like, hey, go ahead, the Iranian team, oh, go play ping pong, and we'll film you, and you just laugh and look like you're having a great time. Do you think the American done that? Hell no, they wouldn't have done that. They'd have said, forget you. Stick me back in my cell. Put a hood over my head. Film that and see what happens. But, you know, these particular people who were caught, I don't know, they just sound to me like they were ready to break anyway. Just the main problem here is probably the fear that was in their minds. Now, who's at fault there? The media? Because these soldiers and sailors have been told for so long how evil Iran is and how despicable they are and how do anything to achieve their ends, and they'll fund terrorism, and they'll allow these beheadings and all this. That Iran is evil to the core. And I'm not saying they're not, but the point is that the battle already lost. The instant these sailors and Marines were captured, they gave up. They were afraid of all the stuff they've heard, all the propaganda that inspired them to probably join the service, all the propaganda that inspired them to fight the fight, all the propaganda that inspired them to do these jobs that they've been asked to do. They've been given so much fear to inspire so much hatred, to inspire sort of a fighting mentality, that given the fear in their face, they just gave up. I'm not saying that I would have done any differently, because who knows? I mean, if you've been in the situation, you know how you would react. But we also know that, you know, they allowed themselves to be used as propaganda tools, laughing, watching TV, eating, all that stuff. And maybe they said, hey, look, do this and we'll release you. And if you do not, you won't get released. Well, yeah, that's a judgment call, and everybody has to make their own decision. But the point is that the simple fact remains is this. They did allow them to be used for propaganda purposes, plain and simple. Not all of them. Maybe that's why all of them didn't get seen. You didn't see the ones who were held in isolation because they said, I'm not going to go play ping pong for your kid. What am I, a trained monkey? I'm going to go and do backflips, and you toss me nut? No, thanks. You just keep me here in my cell. I'm happy to be sitting here, bloated and naked and flicked with fingers. Anyway, Friday, Lieutenant Felix Carmen, who was in charge of the crew when it was captured March 23rd, said the sailors and Marines were only allowed to search for the benefit of the Iranian media. But they still did it. The benefits of socializing for the Iranian media. But you still did it. Not all of you, but some of you did still put on the show. Again, the statement that was released that we just quoted earlier, the statement says, by staying together as a team, we kept our spirit. Yeah, well, apparently not. Anyway, his statement went on to say this at a news conference. Lieutenant Carmen said, quote, we were kept in isolation until the last few nights when we were allowed to get together for hours in the full glare of the Iranian media. But that was very much a setup, very much a story for Iranian propaganda, end quote. The point is they still warmed for the cameras. You know, what if they were just sat there with like this, you know, dead on their face, not smiling, not laughing, looking like they're having a good time. Yeah, they might be dressed in tracksuits. Yeah, they might be at a table filled with food, but are they eating? Are they looking like they're having a good time? Yep, they were. So yeah, it was a stunt for propaganda, but you played along. The members also insisted they were in Iraqi waters when they were seized. Iran dismissed the sailors' news conference as propaganda. Yeah, well, they know quite well what propaganda is. The British Foreign Office did not immediately phone call seeking comment on Sunday. Right, because they were kind of bewildered how they were going to spin this now. Especially in light of some others. We got these here. Let's look at this one. From April, you could find this at Times Online. They're in the UK. The return of the 15 British captives was soured yesterday when two of the women were killed in Iraq by a massive roadside bomb. Tony Blair said that elements in Iran were masterminding the terrorism in Iraq and avoided thanking President Ahmadinejad for the gift of sending the sailors home. Last night, the Bush administration accused Iran of using hostage diplomacy to boost status. Well, of course they did, because they looked like they won. They made it easy. And of course, the British didn't make it easy on themselves. They may have tried, and we'll get into that. But, of course, Bush has to weigh in and appear to be the hardliner that he would be. Mr. Blair made clear that his problems with Iran and Iraq are far from over. One revelation likely to rile Tehran came from former captive Captain Chris Eyre of the Royal Marines, who admitted in a Sky News interview before his abduction that one of his duties was, quote, to gather intelligence on Iranian activity in the area. Before his capture, you remember I mentioned to you that while they were on their ship, that the BBC was there and other news outlets. They were on the ship interviewing these particular people before they were captured. Seems a little strange, right? Anyway, Mr. Blair said this, quote, the general picture is that there are elements, at least of the Iranian regime, that are backing, financing, arming, supporting terrorism in Iraq. And I repeat that our forces are there specifically at the request of the Iraqi government and with the full authority of the United Nations, end quote. So he's saying, hey, look, we're in Iraq because of Iran, because Iran is doing all these terrible things. Iran is making this whole thing worse for us, and we continue to have troops that are getting killed, and it's Iran's fault. Well, again, here's the Sky News article that was referenced there. This is from April 5th, and skynews.sky.com is where you can find it. The captain in charge of the 15 Marines detained in Iran has said they were gathering intents on the Iranians. Sky News went on patrol with Chris Eyre and his team in Iraqi waters close to the area where they were arrested just 5 days before the crisis began. Sky News held the interview until now so not jeopardize their safety, and thank God for that, because they probably would have gone on trial. They probably would have been executed as a result. It says today former Iranian diplomat Dr. Mehrdad Khansari said that if the Iranians had known about this, they would have used it to, quote, justify taking the Marines captive, putting them on trial, end quote. The operation was mainly to investigate arms smuggling and terrorism, but Captain Eyre said it was also to gain intelligence on Iranian activity. That is stunning. Do you understand what that means? It means that when Tony Blair came out and said they were definitively in Iraq waters, we already said that's not true. There is no definitive Iraq territorial water, distinctive, definitive Iranian territorial waters. Just doesn't happen, okay? It's too hard to figure out. These boundaries were set in the 70s. They've never been agreed upon, and they've never been reviewed, okay? So that was a dispute. Now we find out that these guys who were boarding this innocent ship that was Iranian, that was supposedly in Iraqi waters, we also find out that they were tasked with finding out information on Iran, spying on the Iranians. That was their job, gather intel. So apparently this information is also looking to justify Iran's position quite a bit, is it not? The UK Defense Secretary Des Brown told Sky News it was important to gather intelligence to keep our people safe. He said, quote, modern military operations all have an element of gathering intelligence, end quote. So this thing, it already looked bad for the British because of the way it went down, the way it was resolved. Now it looks really bad, because it looks like the British were having their people do exactly what Iran suspected they were doing. They weren't simply monitoring ships, although that was part of it. They were also spying on the Iranians. That was their job. They were told to do that. It's on the record. 5 days before they were captured and accused by doing exactly that, they admitted in a media broadcast, only to come out after they've been released, that that's exactly what they were doing. Kind of changes things a bit, doesn't it? And again, I should go on the record here. I'm no fan of Iran. I don't care about Iran. I'm just saying that when you're looking at the whole situation and you're looking for the truth, it would appear that the British have been decidedly untruthful in this regard. This one came out on the 8th. You can find this at inform.kz. Okay, that's where you can find April 8th, excuse me. Here's what it says, Kazinform, where this media outlet is. The United States offered to mount aggressive air patrols over Revolutionary Guard bases during Iran's standoff with Britain, but was rebuffed by London, the Guardian newspaper reported yesterday. Ah, so the United States offered to sort of say, look, they're holding your sailors and your Marines. We'll take care of it. We'll start doing flybys of Revolutionary Guard bases with our aircraft. Oh, yeah, that would have helped things. Obviously, the British said, no way, you're just going to make it worse. And thank God for that. Good thing they did, honestly. Because that would have made it worse. Citing unnamed diplomatic sources, The Daily said that the Pentagon officials offered a series of military options, but Britain told them to keep out of the affair and instead tone down armed forces activity in the Gulf. Very, very interesting, folks. Apparently the idea, the rationale was there to go to war. They were going to make it happen. They were going to make it happen. And Iran, basically, they just did better. Anyway, one of the options involved combat aircraft patrolling over Iranian bases to show how serious the incident was, the newspaper said in a front story. Or rather, to make the situation more serious, is what it sounds like. Britain also asked the United States to ensure that it kept the rhetoric low-key, said The Guardian. Meaning, don't get out there and start saying, we're going to go and invade, blah, 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 blah. Keep the rhetoric low-key. Maybe that's why we didn't hear a lot of Bush. He did say that he backed Tony Blair 100%, but he didn't say much more. Now we know why. The release of the British personnel came one day after a senior Iranian diplomat held for 2 months in Iraq was set free. Jalal Sharifi was seized in February, uniformed gunman in Baghdad. Iran has blamed the United States for the diplomat's action, but the Americans have denied these accusations. Sharifi said yesterday he had been tortured by his captors, among them U.S. intelligence officials, the state news agency IRNA reported in Tehran. He said he was subjected to different forms for day and night, saying, quote, I was kidnapped on a Baghdad street while shopping by officials at Iraqi Defense Ministry ID cards and were riding in American forces vehicles, end quote. So he claims he was tortured by the Americans and American intelligence officials. So the British said that they were mistreated. Were they mistreated? Well, again, we know a couple things. Were they probably blindfolded? Sure. At least for part time, not for all the time. Were they tortured day and night? No, it doesn't sound like it. It sounded like they were flicked with fingers, called young, threatened that they'd been years and years and years in jail. And these were 15 sailors and Marines held for about 2 weeks. This guy is saying that the U.S. tortured him. He was held since February. Who are you more likely to believe? I would love to believe my government. I would love to believe that the United States takes the high road every single opportunity given to it to do so. However, we know from experience, we know from history, we know from the facts available to us, facts, mind you, that they have tortured, that they have mistreated, that they have gone above and beyond what all of us would think of as a civilized society would do to someone to get information. And apparently, Iran, they had these sailors and Marines. And they wanted to know, they wanted them to admit that they'd crossed, which they readily did. Oh, don't threaten me with having to stay in jail. I'll sign whatever you want. But the point is that these guys, these sailors, these Marines, they were captured 5 days before on the record saying they were tasked to spy. Had I tortured them, they would have got this information. What would have happened? Well, nobody would have believed them. They would have said, hey, Iran tortured these guys. Of course they would have said they were there to spy. They were just being tortured, of course. What else would they say? But Iran didn't torture them. And they still said it. They said it earlier, before they had been captured. Do you see how this is? Do you see how despicable this whole situation is? It just makes me sick. It makes me sick, as an American, to think that Iran treats its prisoner of war better than we do here. It makes me sick to think that British citizens get treated better in Iran than American citizens do who are held as enemy combatants with no legal status attached to it. That makes me sick to my stomach. That makes me depressed, angry, sad, frustrated, and mostly disappointed in the United States of America that I have loved my whole life.